Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today we're going to talk about pain and how to find the source of it and what to do to fix it. So this episode comes from a question from my listener, Jason. He is wanting to know what to do when he has a certain pain. And by that, his question was really, what is the source of my pain and what should I do? Should I go to a chiropractor? Should I go to a massage therapist? Should I go to my doctor? Do I need to go to the ER? Do I need medications? What should I do? Because I think a lot of people get into this situation where their body's hurting, and it might be after a day of moving, or it might be after a gym workout, or it might be, you know, just random. It might just come out of nowhere. And so a lot of people, I think, struggle to figure out, like, is this something that I should have treated right now? And, you know, should I do something about it? Or I have a lot of people that just wait because they think it's just going to go away on their own. So I decided to dedicate this podcast to Jason's question of how do I know what kind of pain I have and what do I do about it? So that being said, there's a couple types of pain sources out there. And every day, my job is to figure out what someone might do to calm their pain, since pain is one of my specialties that I treat in my practice. Now, the first one that I'm going to talk about is nerve compression. Because I think a lot of people, you know, if their leg goes numb or their hands or feet go numb, it kind of freaks them out a little bit. They're like, oh my gosh, am I having a stroke? Am I dying? What's happening? And it's a little scary. And a lot of us will wake up one morning and our hands will be numb. And we'll be like, oh yeah, you know, that happens. I know I can get up, move around, and my hands come back to life. And that's usually a sign of some nerve compression overnight. And pinched nerves usually do develop over time, but in some cases it can happen acutely. Oftentimes the source of pinched nerves would be a posture, so a poor posture, tech neck, leaning over a computer, hunched forward kind of stuff, but also repetitive motions, something during a workout, something during a repetitive sport type of thing like tennis or golf, or, you know, weightlifting can do it too. Or a pinched nerve can occur with an acute spasm. So that could be like if your gluteal muscle, like let's say your one of your butt muscles. So we'll talk about the piriformis. This is a common muscle that goes into spasm when we do repetitive squats. And say that muscle spasmed and it's decided to affect your sciatic nerve. And this is your nerve that runs down the back of your leg. And sometimes we'll notice that we have numbness and tingling in our foot, or we might have shooting pain going down the side of our leg. That's a nerve compression kind of thing. And what it feels like is sometimes you can feel a hot sensation. Sometimes you can feel a cold sensation. You might have numbness, like I've mentioned before. You might have tingling or like an ants crawling sensation. Or you might just have a sensation of a weak muscle. I have some patients in my practice that have come in and just said, hey, I feel like I'm losing strength in my bicep. And we go poking around, and sure enough, we find that their neck is really tight, their shoulder's really tight, and both the muscles in the neck and the shoulder could be compressing that nerve. Now, another thing that could be compressing a nerve would be a herniated disc. So this is in your spine. And these discs could be pressing on the nerve roots as they come out of the spinal cord. Bone spurs can do that too. And oftentimes people will unfortunately create bone spurs in the spine area. And that could cause some trouble. Also, areas of bottlenecks, so like elbows and wrists, those guys can also be areas where we might have some nerve compression. So like, for example, people are pretty familiar with carpal tunnel. That's a big one. And oftentimes, really, the problem with carpal tunnel isn't even necessarily the tunnel itself. Sometimes that nerve's been compressed in your forearm muscles just below your elbow or just distal to your elbow. And I see that kind of often. I also see nerve compression happening in the neck more often than not, because a lot of people are what have tech necks, like I call it, where they're leaning forward over their computers, and their muscles in their neck tighten up so much that those nerves, as they exit the spinal cord, they're compressed on your really tight muscles on the side of your neck. So if you have really tight muscles in the back or side of your neck, chances are, if you wake up with numbness or tingling, or it wakes you up in the middle of the night with numbness or tingling in your hands, likely you need to work on getting those muscles released and really getting things moving. Now, of course, if you had an injury to your neck, and let's just say you were working out at the gym and you dropped a barbell on the back of your neck and it really hurt, well, and now you have numbness and tingling that started immediately, that would be something that I would say, yeah, you might want to go to urgent care and get that looked at. But if it's something that's developed over time and coming on slowly, and you don't have any tight muscles and there isn't an acute injury that went along with it, now I'm going acupuncture, massage, those types of things, heat might be of benefit. So let's go into how do I find the source of a compressed nerve. Well, basically, I have to trace the symptoms backwards. So if your hands are numb, for example, we're going, okay, that's your cutaneous nerves that go to the hands. Now, is it the whole hand or is it the first four fingers? But the pinky's okay. Now, that could be your radial nerve. That could be nerve root C5 and 6, so cervical vertebrae 5 and 6. But if your pinky's numb and the side of your hand's numb and your ring finger, the side of your ring finger is numb, then that could be cervical vertebrae 7 and thoracic vertebrae 1. That could be those nerve roots causing trouble. And so there's a little bit of a sequence that goes with it to figure out what's the problem. Now, what I highly recommend is if you do have numbness and you have a certain area on your hand that goes numb or a certain area on your arm that goes numb, go look at something called a dermatome map. It's dermatome. And you can Google that up and you'll get images for it easily, no problem, online. Totally free. Don't pay for that kind of stuff. You can Google it, no problem. So get that up and you can trace it back to the area of the spine where that comes from and look at the area where you're having the numbness, the tingling, the hot or cold, the ants crawling sensation, and see what nerve, and it's a cutaneous nerve, so this is a superficial nerve, see what nerve's involved. Then the next thing to go to is look at the deep muscles in the area, because those deep muscles in the area also might have something to do with it. Because say you have symptoms of numbness in your hand, your brain doesn't know how to tell the difference between the beginning, the middle, or the end of the nerve. It just knows that there's no messages coming from that hand. And so when there's no messages coming from the hand, the sensation is numb. It basically knows that there's no signals coming up from that hand. And when we have no signals coming up from that hand, that's the sign of nerve compression. Now your job is to figure out what muscle is compressing that nerve. And this is where you want to trace back up that arm. So if your hand's numb, go up to your elbow and the forearm muscle. See if you find any tight trigger points. If you find a knot in there or areas that are tender, start massaging them. See if your sensation comes back in your hands. And do this all the way up your arm. You can go to your shoulder, do that. You can go up to your neck and do that. And oftentimes you'll find the spot where there's a knot and you press on that and you either get more numbness or less numbness. And if you keep working on it, you start to feel that those hands are starting to come back. This is huge. And I typically will go in that sequence. I'll look at the dermatome map and I'll go, okay, it looks like it's C5-6. Okay, I'll go up to the neck and poke around C5 and 6 in the neck, and then I'll come out to the neck muscles on the side, and then I'll either go down or I'll start from the hand and go up. So I highly encourage you to do that and see if you can find some tight spots. Now, if you're not interested in figuring this out on your own, you can go to a massage therapist, you could go to an acupuncturist. Even a physical therapist would be useful in some situations in this case. It's just that if your hands are numb, it means there's tight muscles and you want to release those tight muscles. Another way to look at it is to look at your postures of how you're sitting at your desk at work, any repetitive motions you do, looking at your posture with that, especially if you go to the gym. And then also consider different types of metabolic help for those muscles, because you might have muscles that can't repair themselves and so they're tightening in response. Magnesium glycinate is huge and helpful for tight muscles, so something to think about there. Also, float centers can be really good too. This is an Epsom salt style of bath, but you can float and see if absorbing that magnesium can help to relax your muscles as well. Now, another thing that I have folks looking at is getting some cupping or gua sha, which is a scraping technique to the muscles to help to work on releasing those knots. It's a little bit more advanced technique, but there are a lot of folks out there that you can go see that'll do that for you. So look and see if your massage therapist does cupping or your acupuncturist does cupping. It's huge. And I oftentimes will use the cupping combined with massage and acupuncture to help to release those spots. Another thing that I use for nerve compression is electroacupuncture, otherwise known as E-stim style of acupuncture. I have a whole podcast on it. I'm not going to go into it in depth today, but if you're interested, head on over to my podcast list on YouTube, not YouTube, excuse me, on iTunes or Stitcher, and look through there. You'll see it was only a couple episodes ago. I think it was like 2 to 3 episodes ago. So go and check it out. And I'll explain all of that in terms of what E-stim acupuncture can do. Same thing, a TENS unit can also help with nerve compression symptoms. Now, what I didn't mention in this case is something called neuropathy. And this is damage to your nerves. If your blood sugar's been too elevated for too long, or you're diabetic, or if you've been through chemotherapy and you have damage in terms of neuropathy from that. That is a different situation. I'm only talking about nerve compression here. Not saying that acupuncture couldn't help and not saying that massage couldn't help with neuropathy, just mentioning that's a different type of pathology. So keep that in mind. Now, the next common injury that I see is a tendon issue. And so some folks might call it tendinitis. The fancy term is tendinopathy, so a disease of the tendon. And most of the time with tendon injuries, they're either gradual wear and tear or gradual wear and tear that the injury happens suddenly because there was a tendon that was weak over time. This is usually stiffness. It's pain, it's loss of strength in that affected area. Most of the time, the joints near that tendon are affected. Maybe those joints might hurt and it's actually the tendon. Most commonly, what I see is issues with the knee in a lot of tendinitises, and in the wrist more often because of everybody texting and playing video games. But the tendon, you know, how to know if it's a tendon, really the pain could get worse when you use the particular muscle attached to the tendon. So just paying attention to where you hurt, but what muscles hurt with it. Also paying attention to where you feel stiffness, especially at night. Because if you got a tendinitis issue or a tendon injury, you're going to feel it more at night. And you'll also feel it when you get up in the morning because it gets stiffer when you don't move it. Plus, this area might be red, it might be swollen, it might be inflamed, and that might be easier for you to tap. Another big component of a tendinitis is you get a crunchy sound or feeling when that tendon moves. It kind of goes click, 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 or crunch, 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 meaning it's inflamed and there's some scar tissue around it. Now, it's not too hard to find where you hurt in terms of an area of pain, but what might be interesting to look at with a tendinitis issue is to look around in the muscles attached to that tendon that hurts. Because those muscles that are attached to that tendon oftentimes are tight and they're pulling on that tendon, but there also might be trigger points or knots in that muscle that need to be released to allow that tendon to let go from it pulling so much at its attachment into the bone. Now, really commonly, I'll see a lot of folks with a biceps tendinitis, or a supraspinatus tendonitis. So a biceps, of course, being in your biceps in the front of your arm, a supraspinatus being in the top of the shoulder. I'll often see that kind of issue going on. And really, if the bicep is tendon is hurting, a lot of times there might be a trigger in that bicep further down towards the elbow, or you might find some issues in the antagonistic muscle, the triceps. Now, patellar tendonitis, so a knee issue. So look in the quads for some trigger points, but also look in the IT band, so that band on the side of your leg from your hip bone all the way down to your knee. Look in your hip flexors. Look in your calf and look in your glutes too to see if there's any other points, and of course your hamstrings. Because if your quads, so your patellar tendons on the front side of your body attaching your kneecap to your tibia, to your leg bone, your shin bone down there, that's in the front of you, look at the muscles on the back of you, because oftentimes those antagonistic muscles are going to be the trouble ones. So massage, acupuncture, trigger point releases, so injections could be helpful in this case. I typically will have people use a hot and cold type of method, which is 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, three times, and on cold. And what it's doing is bring in blood flow, flush out the inflammatory proteins, bring in some more blood, flush it out. I often will have folks put castor oil or arnica cream or something called Dr. Bob's medicated oil on top of that pain area so that it can get soaked in with the heat. Because as soon as we put heat on an injured area, it's going to open the blood flow up and allow for those topicals to absorb. You always want to put heat with topicals. Now, if you have a tendon that's chronically inflamed, one of the best ways to work on is really to find out the weak muscles around it. Because what's happening is this chronically inflamed tendon means it's because of overuse. You are using that tendon and relying on it more than the other muscles in the area. It's taking the brunt of your motion. And so look at those antagonistic muscles. A lot of times in the case of the bicep, for example, triceps are weak. A lot of us have strong biceps, but the triceps are super weak. They're like our bingo arms. And those guys need to be strengthened to not allow the bicep to take the brunt of the load when we're doing things with our arms. Same thing goes for some of our shoulder muscles. Our supraspinatus is usually pretty strong. It's the muscle that allows us to kind of wing our arms up like we're flying. But to bring our arms back down, we're using different muscles. And your lats, your serratus, those are usually a little bit weaker in some folks. And in particular, the serratus anterior is a super weak muscle, and that one needs some help. And so looking at those counterbalance muscles. Another big component here is I often will see the iliopsoas tendon inflamed. And the iliopsoas is a muscle that attaches from your rib cage, so just at the bottom of your rib cage at T12 on your spine, all the way down to the front of your groin, just below your hip bone on the front of your groin and below, kind of right in that muscle as it attaches to your pubic bone there in your groin. And that guy is usually due to a weak glute and piriformis. And so it's this antagonistic, you know, kind of component of muscle in the front versus muscle in the back. The opposite muscle usually that is weak tends to be the one that's spasming in reaction to the tendonitis-based spasmed muscle. And so what's happening is this power struggle between the front and back of you oftentimes, especially if someone has chronic medial knee pain or hip pain or glute pain, things of that nature. Take a look at those hip flexors and the glutes and see which one's causing the trouble. It's interesting, especially knee pain too. In this case, the knee pain can be higher up into some of the hip stuff, or it could be lower down and be your calf muscles. Speaking of calf muscles, those guys can be causing ankle pain and ankle tendonitis. So things to think about in terms of the balance. Really, the moral of the story here is to find your weaknesses and work on them and work on releasing any knots that you have in your muscles. Use cups, use massage, use gua sha, use acupuncture if you've got an acupuncturist nearby. And so a tendonitis type of issue, there's not much a doc can really do with that other than inject with cortisone. And, you know, that works half the time. It's going to work in the moment, but unfortunately, you've got to correct the source problem. A cortisone injection is going to put a Band-Aid on it, and heck, sometimes I do recommend those, but if they don't put a Band-Aid on it and it doesn't help, then what are you going to do? And so typically to prevent things from happening again, I often will have folks work on their weaknesses and work on releasing their tight muscles. Absolutely huge. Now, something that feels much like tendonitis is called bursitis. And bursitis is the inflammation of a bursal sac. So these are little sacs filled with synovial fluid, the same fluid that's inside your joints. And these guys help your tendons to slide over each other. The most common bursitises that I see are ones in the shoulder. So there's a bursa that's kind of just below your shoulder bone on the most lateral point. So where your shoulder sticks out on the side, there's a bursa there underneath your acromion, which is part of your shoulder girdle there, your bones in your shoulder. And that one oftentimes feels like rotator cuff tendonitis and commonly inflamed, especially if someone's had an injury where they fell on that shoulder or had any previous injury to that shoulder. Oftentimes also a big issue in menopause. Ladies will have frozen shoulder and it'll be that bursa that is affected. And so another reason why you want to look at your hormones and get your hormones in balance too, because the lower amount of good estrogen, otherwise known as estradiol, in your body, the more that you're setting yourself up for inflammation of your bursa. So there you have it. Another big one that I see is something called the trochanteric bursitis. And this is, if you go out to your hip on the side of your leg, you've got this hip bone. And oftentimes like an inch or so below that hip bone, you'll feel pain. That's right where that bursa is. It allows your iliotibial band, so this is your big band of tendon going down to your knee, it allows it to slide back and forth so that you have good motion of your hip while stabilizing it, and also stabilizes your knee. But unfortunately, that guy gets sticky and inflamed and can be really painful getting in and out of the car, and quite an issue there for a lot of folks. Usually a bursitis type of issue is pain that builds up over time. It can definitely be severe if you have a fall directly to that area, of course, and that can start. You can also have some calcium deposits, otherwise known as bone spurs, that can cause some serious issues with the bursa. And in particular, the shoulder, your acromion process, so that bone attached to your scapula there that kind of curves over where the bursal sac is in your shoulder, that guy can cause a lot of trouble for folks. And this bursa is there to help all the tendons of your shoulder move properly. But even if one of the tendons become inflamed, sometimes I'll also notice that the bursa becomes inflamed as well. And the way to know, getting an MRI to see what's going on with the soft tissue. Same thing that I have folks looking at with tendonitis, but to be honest with you, it's really, really key to work on releasing the muscles in the area, use some hot and cold therapies, keep those joints and muscles moving, do not stop moving them because then they're going to get frozen and you're going to lose a ton of mobility, and that is not good either. So in the cases of tendonitis, I'm usually having folks work on their own mobility, getting massage, going to a physical therapist. And the reason being is because most of the reasons that we have tendonitis or a bursa in terms of a bursitis is because we have weak muscles that are being overpowered by our really strong contracted muscles. And then we get this power play between the weak and the strong. And that'll solve the problem as soon as you know how to strengthen those weak muscles. So I do recommend physical therapy in that case, but also some homework in terms of releasing knots and trigger points, those tight muscles that you've got all around the areas of pain. Now, with bursitis, if it is an issue in which it's an acute injury, that's another story. A lot of times that is when an injection with cortisone will be beneficial, and I do have folks go see their doc and see what's going on. The rule of thumb here is if things aren't getting better after a month, and by that I mean you've worked on yourself, maybe you've seen a physical therapist during that month time, and you've been using hot and cold therapies and some topicals and you're not getting any better, then it's time to go to the doc and say, all right, let's see what's going on. And typically the doc's going to have to do an x-ray first and then an MRI, because x-ray is going to tell us what's happening in alignment with bone and if there's bone spurs or anything there. And then the x-ray is next going to show us what's going on with the soft tissue known as tendon or bursa. So just something to keep in mind. And unfortunately with insurance companies, your doc is going to have to play a little bit of a game, because the insurance companies, they want you to get the x-ray first. They want you to have physical therapy for at least 4 weeks before you jump to an MRI. So just keep in mind that is a possibility, and don't hate on your doctor when they have to put you through the hoops a little bit before they jump to the MRI. Now, of course, if you've had an acute injury that makes your doc suspect that there's a soft tissue injury, then we go for the MRI. But just keep that in mind just in terms of the background here. Now, if you've had a muscle strain, so strain and sprain is essentially the same thing. It means that there is a tear within the muscle. The grade at which the tear has occurred is the the differential component here, meaning that the more severe that you have of a muscle strain, the more you're going to need to see a doc. And by that, I mean, if you can't use a muscle at all, you better go to the urgent care or ER. Now, if there's just weakness in muscle or tendon and you're able to use that muscle and you find some trigger points around it, but you see swelling or bruising in a certain area, that's okay. That's not something you need to go running to the ER for. But definitely, if you can't use that muscle, you can't bear weight on that particular leg or arm, you're not able to use that particular arm, okay, that's a big issue. You got to go get that looked at. But oftentimes, muscle strains will heal themselves, and you just need to work on getting blood flow to that area. Keep promoting blood flow. So acupuncture, massage, contrast hydrotherapy. So that's that 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, three rounds, end on cold component. And you want to just keep mobility going for all the joints in the area that's above and below your injury, because like I said before, you stop moving those joints, now we're going to get locked up and have some serious issues. Topical pain relievers are huge for bursitis. They're topical pain relievers are huge for tendonitis and muscle strain symptoms. But for all intents and purposes, you really do want to isolate where your pain is at. Look and see how big swelling, bruising. Look to see if you do contract that muscle, how much of the muscle is looking healthy. Because unfortunately, if there's any balling of the muscle, you're gonna have to get surgery. That's a big strain. But if you're not seeing lumps coming up and you're not seeing you're able to use that muscle, then you can treat it at home and you don't have to go to urgent care. But like I said before, if there's anything where you're just not sure, 9 times out of 10, it's best to, and you just did something to yourself, it's best to go to urgent care. If you just did something to yourself, it's an acute injury. If it is a chronic based type of injury and you're just wondering what the heck's going on, then that's when I recommend going over to your doctor to have them
get a look at it. She said that she had never seen a golden retriever his age that active. Yeah, he wants to rub you.
So that all being said, the big component or the big take home of this podcast is that there are a lot of different issues that you can have with your body that tend to be questionable as to, what do I do? Do I need to go to the doctor? Do I need pain meds? What's my answer here? Now, typically, most back pain types of injuries after a repetitive motion, so say you've been moving boxes, say you've been chopping wood, whatever, you maybe ran a marathon, something of that nature, that stuff's going to resolve with time. It's just an overuse-based type of injury. And the first way to go about it is to get a massage, get some acupuncture, get someone working on those trigger points. If that doesn't release, then you want some heat, contrast hydrotherapy, the hot and cold, definitely doing that. There's nothing wrong with using ibuprofen in a short moment. I typically will have folks use 200 milligrams of ibuprofen up to 1600 milligrams of ibuprofen a day. There's nothing wrong with that in an acute situation. I don't think that a lot of us need muscle relaxers. I don't think we need to run to the ER for every little injury. But the things to look for in terms of, do I need to go to the ER or urgent care, are things like, okay, if you lose bowel function, if you lose urinary function and you've got back pain, that's a big, huge red flag. If you have pain that is the worst pain you've ever had and nothing you're doing, such as massage, working on releasing it with different stretches, none of that's working, then it's time to go to urgent care to get someone to look at it, or the ER, whatever works for you. It's based on your symptoms. If you're losing nervous function, so you're starting to feel things numb and tingling and it's burning and it's searing pain and it's hard to control your response to that pain and the ibuprofen isn't touching it, well then absolutely, that is something that I highly recommend folks to go to urgent care or the ER. Now, the reason I'm recommending ibuprofen is because of all of the acute injury medications out there, it seems that ibuprofen does the best job. That's just what I've seen. There are obviously other medications, but it seems that that does the best for you. And typically, if it's an injury from being a weekend warrior or you've been moving stuff and you're really locked up your back, the most important thing to do is get heat to it first. You don't necessarily have to do the contrast hydrotherapy. You could do that, but get heat on there. See if you can loosen that muscle up. Start stretching. Start working on releasing the area of injury and go from there.
Now, obviously, if you've strained your muscle and you have a huge lump where you've strained that muscle, that's an urgent care situation. But for those of you who have a situation in which you're hurting, you're having trouble maintaining an upright posture for your back, or say your knee or your leg, and you're debating on whether to go to urgent care or ER, it really boils down to get some ibuprofen, see if that can take down the pain, work on releasing the muscles in the area. Go call your massage therapist, acupuncturist, all of those folks, and go to that right away. Now, you notice I'm not saying chiropractor right away. I do think chiropractic can be beneficial. It's just that you need to get those muscles moving so that a chiropractic adjustment will hold. Then I do say that in some cases, chiropractic's good. But in the moment, and what this podcast is really for, is to figure out if you can help with relieving your own pain in the moment and determining if whether it is a nerve impingement versus a muscle strain or sprain, or whether it's a tendonitis type of thing or a bursitis type of thing. And so, for all intents and purposes, my answer is typically always similar in terms of look at the muscles all around the area that hurt, see if you can release those muscles, and see if releasing those muscles, and by that I mean massaging those trigger points, holding those trigger points, putting a cup over those trigger points, getting a massage therapist to work on those trigger points, and see if that helps to release the area and reduce your pain. If that works, then you're onto something and keep working with that. The hot and cold therapy, the contrast hydrotherapy, I recommend doing that up to 3 times a day. The topicals, you can apply those guys at the same time. Just make sure that you've got some heat going on so that you absorb those topical pain relievers, and go up to 1600 milligrams with ibuprofen. Do that for a day. See where you're at, and work diligently on some mobility work to keep that joint area up and like above and below where you're hurting so that you don't lose any mobility. So that has been my summary for what to do with pain in the moment and how to find the source and fix it at home. If it's not an excruciating pain, of course, like I said before, you know the drill, go to ER urgent care if it's out of control pain and you're not able to use your muscle or weight bear or things of that nature. But for any other type of condition, go check out a dermatome map, work on some trigger point release, and work on some mobility. And I have put some resources at the end of this podcast in for you to check all of that out and get an idea of what I do when I feel pain on patients and what I feel pain on patients, when I feel pain on myself or patients have pain, and go from there. So, nevertheless, check out the resources at drjkrausnd.com and enjoy your day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.